There we are.
Anyway, I didn't know what she likes. I was not much attracted by the injustice of local level politics. In the LRB, we do the job, and we paid for it. And that is when we earn our salaries by working for local level people, and giving them information and help, not in running about passing resolutions. We need to do that in our spare time, so that's more for fun than anything else. And we didn't want to come into politics much more after 29, when we founded the office called SSIT.
The new paper.
Yes. But even so, I didn't have any strictly political ambitions. And there, of course, we've got to reckon that I didn't want to go into Parliament because it's really about set things. I was looking after family and the house.
Well, yes. You see, what you said in your article, in the Political Quarterly article, is
well,
that...
I couldn't find it.
I'll send you a Xerox of it, if you like, so you can read it. You see, you say that women's emancipation has been social rather than political. Mm-hmm. And you see, if one looks at your own life, mm-hmm. one wonders why you haven't gone into the political part of things. Well, in a way you have, haven't you? It's just that you haven't gone into the parliamentary.
No, I haven't gone into the parliament.
Yeah.
The parliament is... it's one of those special cases because then the parliamentary arts was extremely difficult. And of course, there was a distinct prejudice against women candidates
in the Labour Party.
Well, how shall I put it? That the agent side, the organisation side, thought it was much more difficult to win with a woman. And that's what people thought were right. The first, after all, the first women have gone before it was finished at their husband's feet.
That's quite true, Mrs. Winchingham and Lady Astor. Lady Astor and Mrs. Winchingham.
Mrs. Winchingham, yes.
Yes, yes. So it's not a prejudice on the part of the agents against women as such. It's just a feeling you can't win with them.
No, this was more difficult.
I understand. Yeah.
And of course, I'm sure some of the agents were prejudiced against women as such. I mean, how many men of that period could say they were completely unprejudiced?
Yes. Yes.
So there was a men's link for women's suffrage, but it didn't have a large membership.
Yes, I was really wondering whether Raymond, you see, was a member of that. But
I didn't want him, he's too young. And then he went to jail. When he came out, he was a university from Devon Beck, and he was knocking about doing adult work.
He was at St John's, wasn't he, Raymond? Yes. Because I'm from St John's as well. Well, anyway, you see, I told you, I think I went to see Mrs. Lasky, and she told me that Harold, you see, put a bomb in a station in Sussex somewhere, I think. I mean, he was one of the men of these people.
Dead now. Hugh Franklin, he was Mrs. Bentridge's brother, and he horsewhipped, tried to horsewhip Churchill in a carriage, a wooden carriage.
Yeah.
And he actually had his eye badly damaged in the scrimmage.
Did he? Did you actually know him?
I mean, no.
Did you really? He was, how did you know him? Because he was in the Labour movement.
He was the sister, the brother of my colleague on the LCC.
I see, well now.
When you say public life, I've been on the LCC for a long time.
Well, yes, at the local government level, you always have been, I realise that, but you've not gone into Parliament. You see, one of your points is in the article is a small number of women candidates or women MPs, and in a way, you're an obvious person to be a woman MP, aren't you?
When I was young, I wasn't a tolerant speaker. I had to learn to speak. Now I'm, when I'm asked to speak, I equalism of the world, but I'll speak about something like that. And I never talked to anything political noises.
Well, I didn't fire.
Get on the LCC by election. I thought it was an order.
I see.
That's where both of the elected members.
Yes, yes.
I didn't want democratic. Anyway, that's my copy. I don't know how local they didn't count at all. But in fact, I didn't speak. I spoke in committee with them. But I didn't debate much.
So you're really a Fabian, aren't you? I mean, by temperament, as well as by belief. I mean, Fabians are not
temperament.
But I mean, Fabians believe in operating committees, don't they, and at local government level.
I think the main difference, really, you know, is by what we call the Filter 9 Ordinance, which is part of the Fabian rulebook. It wasn't introduced until they amalgamated with it. They amalgamated within a 4B in 1939, but it takes the, it forbids any motion to put forward in the name of the Fabian Society, locally or nationally. The main inducement there was to get rid of the communists, because at the time before the amalgamation, the Fabian Society was very nearly captured by communists.
Well,
when you call for false resolutions, who seems to be interested in communist party? At least look backwards.
Yes, it's interesting.
I mean, a principle of mine is that if you've got a small society, paper size always a small society, or any other small society, the way to get influence, get what you want done, is not to go past the resolutions. To get down and work, do some work. Sitting with all of us used to say, the work of a Fabian Society is the work of individual Fabians, not people who win crossing resolutions.
So it's...
A poet, Harry Poet, in his autobiography, recalls family of the LP in Manchester in 1905. Once passed the resolution, but it sent it to Russia. It sent to them, told the Duma that the number two open show branch of the IRP was behind it.
Yes, I quite agree. I mean,
no doubt they had a better argument before they passed that one.
Yes, oh yes, yes. No, I agree with that. From the point of view of, I mean, if one talks about social emancipation as opposed to political emancipation of women, I mean, what changes are you conscious of during your lifetime? I mean, there must be immense changes, really.
Clothes, for one thing.
Yes.
Which is almost still, sometimes pleasing results, sometimes unpleasing results. And it's not useless now, but you have to go out in front of anybody to find out whether they're male or female. Because women still can't grow whiskers. And men normally don't seem to have bosoms. That's the fun of it.
So, I mean, clothing is a great emancipation, isn't it?
Right, you see.
Yes.
I mean, when I was young, Mrs. Alma Chambers was a woman who wrote Champion, and she played a long skirt.
Yes.
I will remember the furore of Suzanne Lincoln playing in short. Female skin in daytime was not respectable. The artificial light was. It was a big thing of its children.
But you yourself.
And of course, that made possible athletics. Cause and effect. I mean,
you don't interact, anyway. But you said as a young woman, you resented having to wear a skirt at all, did you? I mean,
well, come away.
Yes, yes.
And there were, I don't know, I can't remember it all, but there were various things that little boys could do, little girls couldn't.
And then there's a whole business of chaperones, isn't there, and that sort of thing. Well, that's all gone, that, isn't it?
And then one battle that H.G. Wells really won was the Battle of Ann Veronica. Now, Ann Veronica is an extremely dust of antiquity from Ann Veronica.
I'm afraid I haven't read Ann Veronica. I must read it, mustn't I? I mean,
well, I don't know.
I mean,
it's God Allen, the woman who did.
I mean, it's just, you're really saying that the social deprivation of women has finished. I mean, that death really has gone.
Well, haven't, of course, reduced or disposed of the fact that women do bear the children.
Yes, yes.
And there, the famous 80s, though, that was less of a handicap than it was in the 19th and early 20th centuries.
Because
of the story of Mary Queen of Scots, how many times she climbed in and out of castles when she was pregnant.
Yes. But also, I mean, you have nannies, presumably, in the 19th century, have your children. You had nannies to look after your children in the 19th century, whereas, and babies and wet nurses and things like that, didn't you? Whereas when you had your children, I suppose you really had to nurse them yourself, didn't you? And bring them up.
No, I didn't have to nurse them.
Didn't you?
Well, you see, they were born, all three of them in the 20s. Now, in the 20s, you had first the outsurge of women from the munition trades, and then you had the depression, which meant the flocking in of miners and agricultural workers into the towns, and there was the supply returned to the married, young married couples. And then later, refugees from the Nazis.
So there were always servants, many, between the wars.
There was this great, during the war, the First World War, there was a possibly considerable shortage because the munition factories picked them up.
Yes.
But then,
there's a revival after the war.
Well, they came back, so they were called Limpets.
So anyway, you weren't all that much hindered by
it. No, I
yes.
No, I had it.
But there's another thing, when you were a young woman, I mean, there was the idea of the man being free to sow his wild oats, but not the woman.
Again,
and that's another thing that's changed, isn't it? I mean, now we feel that both men and women are perfectly entitled to have love affairs equally.
Yes, love affairs. But you don't also affect it that kills all men. It is the woman who has the baby.
Well, yeah, that's quite true. Yes, it is true. Although the woman obviously now can avoid having a baby on the whole, whereas she couldn't before birth control techniques were so easy. Would you like me to go? Did you ever join any feminist organisations? I mean, were you ever tempted into the feminist movement as such at all, really?
No, I really can't tell you that, because I made a paid subscription. I'm quite often does to things which you sympathise with, but haven't much time to
find out
about.
Yes.
I think probably yes. I think I should mention to you that I think a sort of distant actor in my developing opinion was Beatrice Webb. Of course, when I came into the world, the Webbs were being very heavy-raised.
Yes.
But she was always, she was the person, a woman who was a ability and judgment are the highest possible opinion. And you see, she was anti-Sir for quite a time.
Yeah.
And what I haven't really touched on was that I disliked actively a good deal. I did ask you, not because it wasn't any use, there wasn't the indoor effect yet. And moreover, there was a great deal of propaganda on the ground that all evil was due to that was to win. Christian tankers in strong effect. And then, of course, they filmed one of the two bankers that went violently for war.
Yes.
I mean, that's why I had to come into contact with. I always thought it was ridiculous to try and abolish the factory act. The pound of ideological ground.
One thing that we need is a good biography of Ellen Wilkinson and Margaret Bonfield, don't we? There aren't.
Well, there are two about what you've got, and all you're talking about.
Not a very good one, though, is
it? It won't be a very good one.
Why?
It's not very interesting.
Isn't she?
She wrote her own reminiscences, and she took my advice in publishing them. I thought, I said to her, I'm going to publish a woman because this was cut down a lot. She did go into politics, but she was very much a little housewife, Maggie.
Yes, yes.
And of course she was, as a rest, she was unpopular.
Yes.
Ellen, well, there's a lovely time to write a biography of Ellen.
Yes, isn't that Mary McCarthy? I've met her on the phone. I've spoken to her on the phone. She did seem to me, Lydia, I must confess.
She was badly wounded.
Was she? She is a strange woman, anyway. But they are two active women in the Labour movement, aren't they? Really quite prominent.
That's why there's no biography of Susan Lawrence.
No, that's true. You mention her in your autobiography a bit as an attractive person.
Mary McCarthy used to alarm her to be a bourgeois.
Did you, you say you have no time for Christabel Pankhurst. Why is that, really?
Well, because I thought she wasn't nonsense. I just thought, she ran away, went to Paris, in her little way, and she and her mother, excommunicated Sylvia. They lost her because of civil socialist bills. And she was also an extremely quarrelsome person. But when I wrote the book that you mentioned, about Women of Today, publishers warned me to give up Christabel. Not that I wanted to write a piece about Christabel, but they said she was for many collections. A teacher subject.
Mind you,
I cannot remember it. But my brother Raymond had it, and my father found it, and he tried to tear it out, but he couldn't. It was too tough. So he split in two bits and touched it on the floor.
Which book is this?
I can't remember. I'm trying to remember.
One of Christabel's books, you mean? I was wondering what it would be. What, about women's suffrage, was it?
About men's suffrage, yes.
Oh, I know. Yes. Let me just think. I know the thing about venereal disease. I know the one. Yes, yes. But you see, Sylvia was a difficult person too, wasn't she?
In some ways.
I mean, it runs in the family, rather.
Yes, but I mean, Sylvia was difficult as well. Difficult as somebody to write. Basically. The Workers' General was a paper I read, and Silver's book, what's it called, War and the Works? I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember now, no.
It was in the War School Division.
Yes.
I've seen Silver's great.
Yes, she's a very popular figure, of course, now, as you know. I mean, everybody's interested in Sylvia, much less interested in Christabel.
Sylvia had wrote a book some few years ago called The Later Pankhurst.
Oh, David Mitchell, yes. Yeah. Yes, not a very good book, I don't think. But,
No, it's fairly interesting things that you just wanted to know about.
Yes.
Stuff about Ariel, which I actually didn't know what the book is.
Yes, yes. Did you did you see very much of Sylvia at all?
Oh, I don't recall. I was a bit busy in the first part of the war. I was teaching, and I didn't. My presence didn't meet anybody. Not people I knew before. And my mother went to show it from mind. Early to war stress and time of life. In 1916, I went back to Liverpool to look after the children. And then, that's when my father found how many smokers to do it. He said, smoking for money, just left it for one smoke, so it's not a pipe. I borrowed a range of pipe and make some. That's how they came in. Up to Tennessee, I thought smoking a pipe.
What made you write that book, Women of Today? What gave you the idea? Because, you see, Margot Asquith edited a thing called Myself When Young, around about the same time, and I wondered whether they were related at all.
No, they were. Obviously, I was asking if I would. And I just partly because I edited a book called Roads to Success. And that I did not think I would discuss it. I remember that with Evening Ironside, who was then on the Standard. And we arranged that the Standard would publish series of articles, and I'd get to write the chapter for the book, and cut it for the articles, and we'd get paid twice. That is how we got our articles.
I see, yes. So they're all originally articles,
remade in articles. No, they were. They wrote them as chapters to a book, but they wrote them and cut them.
I
see. For the Evening Standard.
I see. They
were based on that.
Yes.
I think the publishers of. Was it Nelson? I can't remember.
I think it was Nelson, yes.
Well, they approached me. I know they approached me. I think that was probably why.
And how did you decide who to put in it?
Mainly on what information was available.
Because they're not obvious people, really.
I found it quite difficult to get a few women of today. I really wanted to write about one or two of them. I went to an interview personally.
Sheridan,
and Rita Forbes. And that's just what I mean.
Your essay on Beatrice is very interesting, actually. Mm. Your essay on Beatrice in that book is very good, I think. You talk about one interesting thing. You talk about the web's imperturbability as being a great asset. They never got offended. They never took offence. I think it's very important, actually. That's quite useful.
So they had less rancour than they took rather than known.
And no rancour to you. I mean, they could have had rancour against Douglas, couldn't they? But they didn't.
Well, we'll have to look in there in Beatrice's diary, and that's quite undertaking. She had a different opinion at a different time. But I mean, she never spoke of him with contempt. She thought that they were arrogant. Why did they want to break summer school and stay up to all hours? It's quite funny, some of her reading, because, this kind of sense of humour is one of the strongest point of his mind.
You think she didn't appreciate the youthfulness and the high...
See, they've never been at the university, I don't know. How often I looked as I remembered how often you and I had tired the sun was talking and sitting on the sky. Well, the women's never believed in tiring themselves or anybody else's. And they were extremely well satisfied. Getting one of these book is nonsense.
I haven't read that.
I'll keep out of it. But annoying was I spent or wasted quite a lot of time down in Sussex talking to people.
your thing with Webs and Their Work is a very useful book. I mean, yes. There are some very good essays in there.
One of the best is Ensor's.
I quite agree. I was just going to say, Ensor's is the most interesting one, actually, in that, I think.
That was done Tosh. That also was done by a request the publisher came and asked.
Was it? It's a very, very useful book, actually. I often use
it. I want to get it out as soon as possible, so that... there's only one. Well, I couldn't find the one I wanted. Alan McGraw wrote it.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, he wrote a very good book, didn't he? I mean, his book on the Vedas is very good, I think, didn't you? I mean, you know more about it than I do, but my impression is that it's very good.
But it was my husband's pilgrimage for them.
Well,
something you've been watching recently. I'm always there, but take too long, but I have criticisms of Flower's book.
Have you? Actually, I'm going to Australia on Saturday.
Are you in Australia?
No. But I hope to see McGraw as I'm there. So I'll give him your good wishes, shall I?
I wanted Willie Robson to write it.
Oh, yes.
Because he knew the poor ones I wrote, and then he'd written highly critical books about the London government. But he thought I didn't pay him enough for the government.
What about Margot Asquith? Well, what do you think about her as an influence on women's history in general? I mean, she was a very prominent woman between the wars, wasn't she? Do you think she was a silly woman?
And you were wrong, Stephen.
Well, that's what I think. I mean, I feel, if you want to explain why women don't move forward in politics as fast as you might expect, there seems to be one influence holding them back, is the type of woman like Margot Asquith, rather brainless, rather... concerns with dress and that sort of thing.
Where did the young woman from? I mean, how they introduced her?
You must have been influenced, or you must have had a view about her. Everybody did, didn't they, really, between the wars? I mean, and she seems to be basically a frivolous woman, right? I don't know what you feel about that.
Well, I thought she was a vicious influence,
I mean. She seems to have all the wrong values.
Yes.
Really.
Well, much more interesting. Did you really Nancy Astor?
Oh, well, yes. Yes. I've just been reading her biography by Sykes. I don't know if you know it.
Yes.
You've been reading the Ruth Harrison things, have you, in the Sunday Times, her personal servant?
Oh, well, yes. You've just come back a bit, haven't you? You're a hero to his family.
Yes. She was a very strange contradiction, really, wasn't
yes,
she?
Yes,
a most extraordinary one.
But you remember she wasn't English.
Yes, well, that's true. In a way, I mean, the fact that she wasn't English made it easier for her to be active in the women's movement because there wasn't any jealousy of her, and she came from outside, you know. But,
of course, like one thing that they did have in common with Margot and Ensor was they could be extremely wrong.
Yes, I mean... basically, both rather nasty people, I think.
Well, no, I don't think that's it.
Don't you?
No. I think she could be very tactless. She was egotistical, but she was kind of... she wasn't unkind.
She had a kind streak, certainly, yes. That's true. Yes.
And she stood by her friends. I remember introducing Norman Ewer. My dirty seal. he was her common.
Yes, yes.
That's how Bill says she's going to pick me up with Clifton Bronze.
You actually went to Clifton, did you? I didn't know that. Clifton, did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So you knew Margot Asquith, did you? I mean,
Nancy
Asquith. I mean, you actually met her. Did you really? I see. Did you? Because politically you had nothing in common, did you?
Well, we both supported the Marxist objectives. That was quite...
yes.
That was quite a thing. And,
yes.
Well, I don't know, but Nancy's political views were all over the place. You know, what she would support. experts than she did when they put it in common enunciation.
Yes, I see the point. But, I mean, she was vigorously anti-socialist, wasn't she?
Yes, but there's quite an idiosyncrasy which really ties by some of the socialist women or support socialists.
Yes, she was a sort of Tory Democrat in a way, wasn't she? I mean,
she was so generous.
Yes.
One of the unfortunate men of the
land. Yes. Well, she had an influence on her, didn't she?
And Nancy admired her.
And Nancy admired her, didn't she?
Yes.
You wrote an essay on Mary MacArthur, didn't you, in the book? Yes.
And she was only 40 when she died.
What difference would it have made if she lived longer, then, do you think?
I can't tell you. I mean, she was a strong personality, and she organized women during the war, which way the way it was called. And she ticked off she stood up for her George. No mistake about it, and she would stand up to anybody. But she was a very old woman, and she took a good knock when Anderson died. Without belief in clergy or not, without belief in nursing. I don't know, I never had been much use for Anderson, but I mean, he was her husband. And she just had this daughter, who was young, and then she got this injury.
Is her daughter still alive? Is her daughter?
I don't know if she's alive. I think I don't know about her now.
Is she?
I used to know her through Madeline Simons, who went to prison robbings, but she's dead now. I'm tired of measles.
It's a very dangerous disease when you're old.
Yes. Particularly the Sun Time Post. I just thought she got through. She was a person, Madeline, who was considerably important, and was forming making much easier for the courts. She was chairman of the children's courts of, I think it was the Kensington Children's Court, she was chairman of the Magistrates Association, and she took two clothes. One is, when she first attended her children's course, the chairman said, "Your son's a very glad to see you here. Because you see, I'm very old. I don't see very well. My colleague didn't hear very well. And I sometimes wonder whether we're really doing justice." That's the first one.
That's that's quite true, yes. What about the birth control movement? Did you ever join that at all?
Oh, I don't think so.
I mean, because you see, Mary Stocks did, didn't she? And so did Mrs. Leskey. I mean, they were both active in the birth control
movement. Oh, I never did in the White, but I was a member of some society.
Because that was one thing where the Labour Party was quite active between the wars in women's emancipation, you know, promoting birth control information and so on.
It was a bit, they were more of the union side of it, was extremely slow in converting the children with advances. Eleanor Rathbone had fucked it, didn't say.
Did you ever meet her?
Eleanor, yes. I don't know where I met her.
She's a formidable woman.
And she did want to be a foreigner, of course she could.
Yes, and but only as an independent. I mean, somehow that's not the way to get things done, is it, really, to be an independent?
Well, quite one of them. Mainly responsible for the children's lives.
She got the announcement through, that's true, yes, yes. But, I mean, you know, you must work through the parties, really, mustn't you?
Well, see, she, her seat was in the first seat. I know. Most of them were independent. I saw often open councillors and several of the Tory.
Yes, yes, yes. Still, I mustn't keep you. You really have talked marvellously.
I think Emma Patterson was a very valuable pioneer and going to talk well. I knew Barbara Drake, who was up on the trade union.
I haven't, but I want to read. I've got it on a list of things to read.
Well, she handed us a very nice thing from 19th-century rule books. I won't say, if I'm going to read it, I won't spoil it.
I'll make a point of reading it.
She loved women in the engineering trade, and she... Of course, she was Goethe's friend's niece, and she was on the... the executive,
But you've been quite influenced by women politicians, haven't you, really, personally? I mean,
yes.
They have influenced you. Because they opposed to factory legislation, you mean that? Because they opposed factory legislation.
Well, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And now when I read some of the things that I never had any desire to burn a block,
But also there is a certain anti-man aspect of the way which is unconstructive.
Yes. But of course it's a... I mean, you get less of the attitude that in a man that makes you unreasonably furious about them.
Yes. Yes, and when you cooperated in the labour movement with your husband, you don't feel antagonistic to men as such,
no,
do you?
No, I don't.
To the same extent.
Well, suddenly somebody will... unwittingly, or half wittingly, make form a phrase that makes you realize that it's come out of an atty, like a male dominating attitude. Somebody says, "Mind your problem."
That's very interesting.